May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Whether you are a longtime part of the cathedral community, a guest, a visitor just passing through, maybe new to one of the campuses around us, Wayne State or the College for Creative Studies, maybe you're visiting because it's a holiday weekend. Whatever the reason you're here, we're honored by your presence and delighted to have you with us. It's extraordinarily evident to me that I am not cut of the same fabric as the psalmists, the folks who wrote the Psalms. Because nowhere within the fabric of my being do I have the chutzpah to sitting or standing or being on my knees say, "Test me, O Lord, and try me." All I can remember are those battery commercials with the guy from the Wild Wild West who said, "Come on, knock it off my shoulder." And I'm not playing that game with the Lord. I'm just not going to do it. Perhaps you're not quite so quick to do that either. And if that isn't enough, the psalmist follows it up, "Examine my heart and my mind." Heck, I do that. I don't like the outcome, much less God doing that. And yet, God does that because it's in God's nature and God loves us. God loves me anyway. Wow. It's a pretty startling sort of thing. But it reminds me of, or moves me, to think about the place where we find Jeremiah this morning, the prophet in our first reading. It's relevant because I can find an enormous number of parallels to our dear friends in Southeast Texas and the Louisiana Gulf Coast. You see, Jeremiah has lost all of his possessions. For a different reason. There hasn't been a natural disaster. It comes from his role of being a prophet and saying things that people don't want to hear, and he's lost his family. He's lost his home. He's lost his hometown. He can't even go back to his hometown. In fact, there's only one possession that Jeremiah has. There's only one. And it's the Word of God. It's the only possession that he's got. And yet, if we read on, he finds that to be enough. Might he want for some other things, some other resources, some other tools? Yes. But he wakes up the next day and he puts his foot on the ground and he keeps moving just because he's got that. And I think about our brothers and sisters in Southeast Texas and the Gulf Coast, and I think about how applicable that is in the midst of their journey. Now, and it's not just them. Think about the world over, refugees, people who find themselves living in despotic countries, folks who have been, communities that have been ravaged by flood or mudslides or earthquakes. So they've all been in the news. We haven't seen them much because of the enormity of the whole Hurricane Harvey thing. And it is, make no mistake, enormous. I saw a graphic last night as I was combing through the news that gave me some perspective. I knew that Texas is an enormous piece of geography. It's just really, really big. But it tends to escape us. They had this cartographer had circumscribed the area that was by definition flooded as a result of this storm. And then, because you can do cool things with computers, pulled that image up and sat it down on several places. All but the little bitty teeny tiny tip of Florida was covered up. And most of the ocean on either side, you know, the direct shore on either side. But the one that caught me up, the one that really began to give me some perspective, was they took that space and starting at the lower tip of Lake Michigan, laid it on, and all of the Great Lakes except the far, far, far tip of Erie, they were covered. All of the state of Michigan was covered, with the exception of a little band that seemed to run from about Jackson to Flint. That's it. Just stop and imagine that geography, the whole of the Great Lakes, and all of our peninsula, and the Upper Peninsula, and you begin to get the enormity. And so here are these people, these folks, who are challenged. And how, in the midst of, to use the language of this morning's gospel, in the midst of such a heavy cross, do you get up and start the next day with the sunrise? What is it that compels us to go forward? We can apply that to lots of other things. The gospel says that we have crosses. We have to take them up and we have to bear them. And some of them are enormous like that. But you point at those and you just go, kind of, what other choice is there? I mean, you can give up. That's an option, and some do. But what other choice is there? And I got to thinking about the unique crosses that each of us are called to take up from time to time. And they change over the course of our years. Some crosses we take up for a while, and then they get put away, or taken away by grace, even better. But then there are those crosses that are all of ours, each of us. And it starts with the one on our forehead when we're baptized. And I call it the common cross. And the common cross gets addressed with such profound elegance and simplicity in the second reading today. This passage from Romans, in one or two paragraphs, it depends on how you want to break up the verses, in one or two paragraphs, it is the most concise and yet most complete Christian ethic, I believe, that there is to be found. It's incredible. And to be sure, it's a cross, and it's a cross for each of us. I mean, think about it for a moment. The invitation starts out gently enough. Let love be genuine. Hate evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the relief of saints, show hospitality to strangers. I particularly love that when the book of Hebrews takes that into even more poetic language, reminding us that We ought to show hospitality to strangers because thereby some have entertained angels unawares. How beautiful is that, you know? And this is all good. But then the real seriousness comes flooding in. It comes flooding in. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. This one is easier than the first one. Weep with those who weep. We do that a whole lot better than we rejoice with those who rejoice. Beating back envy is a lot harder sometimes. Live in harmony with one another. Well, we're pretty challenged by that these days. Do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. As far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Never avenge yourselves. If your enemy's hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's our common cross. That's our everyday, each one of us, cross. There are others that we get from time to time. We simply do. But this common cross will challenge, I believe, every fiber of our being. It will test us in moments that we aren't expecting. At the grocery store, or when we flip on the news, or open a web browser, or go to the office or school, or we're just walking down the street. It's an amazing thing. It's so counterintuitive to the world that's around us. And right now, given the natural disaster, given the political world across the spectrum, internationally, globally, locally, there's a powerful force at play that wants us to abandon this ethic. To say that it won't work, that it can't work. This is no wimpy ethic. This is a call that invites each of us to screw up our courage. So much so that we can't do it alone. We'll have to execute it one-on-one sometimes. But we're going to need each other today, tomorrow, I'm for sure yesterday, that one I can speak about with a lot of authority. Hindsight's always a little clearer than foresight. The Word of God, it sustained Jeremiah. It challenges us in the gospel, but has the capacity to sustain us as well. So, dear friends, as we continue this journey together, and as we invite new folks to enter the journey with us, and as we refuse to surrender the Word of God to anything or anyone else, It has the power to change who we are and the world around us. So I invite you into that place, into that extraordinary ethic that empowers us later today, first thing tomorrow when we wake up, whenever, to take a next step. To know that we're carrying not only unique crosses, but a common cross with our brothers and sisters in front of us, behind us, beside us in the pews. And as we do that, the one who loved us so much that he took the cross and transformed it forever walks as well before us, behind us, beside us, and with us. That word of God, it can sustain Jeremiah, can sustain and empower us. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And so, I invite you to continue to pray and to do as you can for the folks of Southeast Texas and the Gulf Coast. Be mindful of our next door neighbors and folks across the globe from us. And let us remember that we are to live a different way, an ethic that flies in the face of the world, and will change it. It will change it. Amen.